From the Sky News Centre at 8. A terror attack in the UK is highly likely. The threat level's been raised to severe by the Joint Terrorism Analysis Centre following stabbings in North London yesterday. Assistant Commissioner Lawrence Taylor's head of anti-terror policing.
I ask that you be alert, but not alarmed. Police officers and staff, together with our security service partners, will continue to work both day and night to protect you against the threat of terrorism.
Earlier, the Prime Minister was heckled as he visited the area, Sir Keir Starmer's promising to fight hatred. Elsewhere, a man who in 2018 was the lead singer for Spandau Ballet has been jailed for 14 years for multiple rapes and sexual assaults. Ross Davidson, who's 38, attacked women in London and Thailand over 6 years. Donald Trump says he doesn't know if the King's State visit will improve his relationship with the Prime Minister. The President said goodbye at the White House as the royal couple end their state visit. Mr. Trump says the PM has made tragic mistakes. He's been on the phone with our US correspondent Mark Stone.
The President simply said he, that's the King, is a much different person than your Prime Minister. Your Prime Minister has to learn how to deal the way he deals, and he'll do a lot better.
Two British soldiers lost control and overreacted when they shot dead 5 civilians in Belfast in 1972. That's according to a coroner who's found the 5 victims posed no risk when they were killed. The Bank of England's warned inflation could go above 6% early next year if the conflict in Iran keeps costs high. It's held the base rate of interest at 3.75%. And an all-English Europa League semi-final is getting underway as Nottingham Forest host Aston Villa at the City Ground. Meanwhile, Crystal Palace continue their push for a first European title as they take on Shakhtar Donetsk in the Conference League. That's the latest. I'm Ruth McKee.
Bringing Gosport closer to you. Paul Dodd on Gosport Hospital Radio.
Welcome to Gosport Hospital Radio's Community Hour, where we bring Gosport closer to you.
So, I'm here this evening with Val Ross and her friend John Vella. They are the founders of Resilient Soul Movement, a new trauma-aware, disability-inclusive, veteran-friendly community initiative based in Gosport. Good evening, Val.
Good evening,
Paul. Good evening, John.
Hiya.
Could you not have picked an easier name?
No.
So you're based at CTU in Gosport.
That's correct.
For people who don't know, CTU is a new community project. Just a little bit down the way, almost opposite
Bonmarsh.
Right, yeah. Opposite Bonmarsh. By our little mate Gary Walker. If you don't know Gary Walker, you need to know Gary Walker. He does a lot for the community. He's opened up CTU. They've got a food bank, they've got lots of things for lots of people. But Val, you're going to talk to us about the Resilient Soul Movement that's launching on May the 4th. So before I get into that, tell me about you. Your lived experience, what brought you to where you are today?
To keep it radio friendly, I've had a very shocking past with trauma, PTSD, nearly dying, overcome a lot of physical and mental illnesses. I've got cerebral palsy, body dyspraxia, epilepsy, ADHD, autism and complex PTSD.
Not a lot then?
No, just a little bit. You know, I don't like to be greedy. And I've got a very enlarged spleen which can erupt at any time. So.
Okay. Thank you for that. Put my first aid badge on.
I would.
Yeah, okay. So, carry on. Sorry, interrupting.
I was in intensive care for the first 3 months of my life. That's my first near brush with death. I got glandular fever when I was 15 and a half, and my mum had to spoon feed me water, and it was touch and go then. I didn't do anything at school, any exam, sorry. So I educated myself after school. And then I got meningitis and meningitis C together. See, don't like doing things by halves. And that nearly killed me. And after that, my nerve damage was affected and I ended up not being able to walk for the last 17 years. So I'm now wheelchair bound, which I don't see as an obstacle. I see it as my way to have a positive outcome in life and show my strength rather than my weaknesses to help other people, because people look at you when you're in a wheelchair and think you're nothing, which is not a nice way, but that's how you get seen in public sometimes, and I want to change that.
Okay, so you're in a wheelchair because of nerve damage. How has that nerve damage physically affected you? Does it mean that you can't feel your legs? Does it mean you can't move?
I can't feel my legs. I can no longer weight bear. I can't walk at all. I get swelling in the back of my brain. I get pins and needles. Get unexplained bruises. And I'm in pain 24/7.
Okay. And there's no coming back from that?
No.
So, how did you get to here then? How did you get to being with C2U? How did you get to founding the Resilient Soul Movement?
To get to the C2U, I've moved to Gosport about 9 months ago, okay. And I've actually come to the C2U for counselling, for my own well-being.
So where did you move from?
Portsmouth.
Okay.
Lived in Portsmouth all my life, but needed change because of circumstances. And since I've been over here, it's opened up a whole new can of worms and good, nice community. And the C2U just make you feel like a second family as well. And the Resilient Soul Movement, I've been working on for a few years now, but my husband left Gosport, his soul died 3 years ago, and I was his full-time carer. So I had to put that on a back burner. But now I can focus on helping other people and show them where I've come from in a calm, non-judgmental environment with healing, crystals, oils, woodworking for the veterans, they've asked for that. And basically it's just a question of getting all the community together and as a collective whole, especially the families that got people with PTSD or autism and that, because it doesn't just affect the one person, it affects the whole environment that you're in. So that needs to be, it's all right dressing one bit, but then they go home and the other two people, for argument's sake, have not got any support. And that's the idea of having all the support for the whole family, and I even do the animals.
So you looked after your husband as a carer?
Yes.
Have you not got enough wrong with you to start with?
No, just a few little bits here all there, isn't it?
There are a lot of people in this town who would take a lot of help from you, I'll tell you. Okay.
He was wheelchair bound as well. Fully wheelchair bound, so it was a hard job because I was in a wheelchair as well. So I can show people the strength of how you can deal with daily life.
So that's your journey. That's a bit of a robust journey, to say the least, isn't it?
Yeah, that's just icing.
Yeah. What made you decide, when you get into that sort of a state, you can go one or two ways. You can go, woe is me, or you can go, do you know what, let's get out there and sort it. You took the last one and went, let's get out there and sort it. Why? Any particular reason why?
Yeah. Because I've hit rock bottom more than once and I've pulled myself up and I've always believed positivity is the key. Yes, it's had its struggles, don't get me wrong, and I still have off days now. That's why I still help myself with therapy and I come here for the counselling. But you can either leave it and just stay down. You can't go any further once you're at the bottom. The only way is back up. And that's a lot of people need to realise that even on your darkest hours, there is hope.
If you could bottle that, you'd make a fortune.
If I could bottle that, I'd do it. Because it is hard. It has been a long journey.
The demographic of Gosport, being the average person is a male 55-year-old, we are in the top 10% of the most deprived areas in Britain. We're in the top 10% of the most affluent areas in Britain. We're in the top 5% of the highest rate of teenage pregnancies. And we're in the top 5% of most drug crimes.
Yes.
Three of those four have to hit rock bottom before they can do anything about their own positions.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to avoid. I want there to be a service in place so they can feel calm and relaxed when they come here, but without having to hit rock bottom first, because I know it's hard to ask for help, but please, anybody listening, come and ask for help, because it's not a weakness, it's a sign of strength.
Do you think that people will come and ask for help if they haven't reached rock bottom? Do they realise their need if they haven't got there already?
Not always, no. Admittedly, people won't always know, because I've been in that situation as well, and I didn't realise I needed the help until I hit rock bottom shortly after I moved to Gosport, to be honest. I was actually taken round to the emergency walking centre and then referred to here as an urgent case. And I thought I was doing brilliant, you know, and other people could see the signs, but I couldn't. So it is difficult if you don't know the signs, but there are a few to look out for. Depression is one that hits a lot of people. Some people don't always get out of bed, don't eat properly, or they eat too much. They self-harm. They go withdrawn and sit in their room. They're normally out and about being sociable and they start withdrawing. Please look out for them signs, because that is one of the very telltale signs. If you're going very quiet, if you're being bubbly and outgoing, there's something not right there.
And depression is probably the biggest issue, because they don't know why they're depressed. They are just depressed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've seen so many people who have gone, well, why are you depressed? Well, if they knew why they were depressed, they'd stop being depressed. And if they can't battle that depression, then they stay at the bottom, because there is no positivity. Okay, so that brought you over. You came over to Gosport, you found CTU, and now you're looking at the Resilient Soul Movement. Still not quite there yet. We'll get there in a minute as to why we're there. You're going to offer a whole host of commodities, some of which are already available in Gosport. What makes yours different?
Are you on about any particular one or just all of them?
No, all of them.
Mine is, I feel, it's more relaxed, non-judgmental. It's for everybody. Some places only do for adults, others just do for children. And there's not anybody that I'm aware of in Gosport that actually includes the animals.
Okay.
The animals take on a lot of the pressure, whether it's a support animal, a veteran support animal, or a working, ex-working animal. They take on their own trauma, plus they take on our feelings.
Yeah.
And I know that only too well, because I've got a little cat called Ruby, and she is my support cat. And she gets me out of my seizures, and she knows when I'm not feeling right, and sometimes she just sit with me, and other times she'd be meow all day, because she knows I'm not feeling right. And you think, some of these dogs and horses have been to war.
Yeah.
And people look at them and say, oh, they're heroes because they've been to war. But then it's no aftercare as such for the animal. That's where my Reiki healing comes in and my animal communication behaviour comes in as well. And then I would teach the veterans or the man or lady that's got the support animal how they can help as well.
What a USP. I've not heard, I deal with an awful lot of charities within Gosport. I've never heard of anybody who looks after the feelings of the animals. And you're so right. Yeah, you know, you look at a guide dog, for instance. A guide dog is the eyes and sometimes the ears of the person that they're with. They take on the stress of that person crossing the road. And they do, you know, it's a proven fact that they do take on that stress, they do take on that worry, and nobody cares about them. Yes, we've got the Cat Protection League. Actually, I think that's probably the only one I can think about in Gosport is the Cat Protection League. I don't think there's anything that I've come across for dogs. The amount of horses that are looked after by or around Gosport, and I've seen some horrific cases of cruelty to the horses. And there's nothing for those either.
No.
The deer that live in Gosport, there are a phenomenal number of deer that live in Gosport. People go, we haven't got any deer in Gosport. Oh, we have. Oh, my dear me, we have. Badgers. Did you know we've got the highest rate of badger sets per capita in Gosport in Britain?
But I can never believe that, because we had one in the garbage bin. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a kitten.
We had Chris Peckham come down a couple of years ago now and did a badger count. And we had something like about 327 sets in Gosport.
Blimey, that is a lot of badgers.
Yeah, that's a lot of badgers. And I wonder why my vegetables are going away. Okay, so the lived experience leadership that matters to you. How does that work? How does your lived experience in the leadership work? What's that done to you?
Well, I've had such traumatic times in my life, and hit rock bottom and had to deal with, I don't know how much I can say for the radio.
You can say whatever you like, because we'll just cut it if we don't like it.
Okay.
Or it's not suitable.
I've been held as a prisoner and beat up. I've lost children. Sorry.
You all right?
Yeah, sorry. Okay. It's just hard. And when I was a kid, at the age of 7, I went round to see my so-called father, and he told me he wished I was dead. And that was when I was first put under a psychiatrist. So living from the age of 7, I can remember everything that's gone on in my life. And it's been more downs than ups. I mean, I've had some good times. I mean, I've had some nice children, lovely children. They're not healthy, but they're my children, so they're a bit mad like me. But my lived experiences have taught me that to be stronger, put barriers up and protect myself more than what I have done, and just to be more self-aware of being used and abused, basically, because it's so easy for people to say, well, why didn't you get out of that? But it's not as easy as just opening the door and walking out, because they come and find you.
Yeah, I mean, in the last 6 months, I've had Andy's Place, I've had Sean's Safe Space. We do a lot of interviews for people who are the victims of abuse. And you're quite correct, you know, unless you're taken completely out of it and protected, you are so vulnerable. The storyline going on Coronation Street at the moment is a great example of that. You know, they thought he was locked up and he wasn't. They'd sent the police in after him and he wasn't, you know. And these, I'm going to say people because that's probably the nicest word I can use on the radio. These people, it's a bit like a drug addict, really. If there's a way, they'll find it.
Yeah. And first, you know, it starts off as emotional, like calling you fat, ugly and things like that. And then the physical bits turn out, and then who you can and can't see and what you can and can't wear, etc. And it's not just from the men to the women. Some of the women can be just as cruel to the men, but a lot of men that I have known have had domestic issues won't go forward because they find it as a sign of weakness, which I can relate to as the woman on the other side, because I didn't ask for help. I was in it for 6.5 years. And that's a long time. And I lost family over that, friends, lost.
You do lose the support.
Yeah.
Because people can't understand, well, why haven't you walked away? Yeah. So easy, isn't it?
It's easier said than done. Yeah, just walk away. But I tried 3 times, and 3 times he found me.
And yeah, and walking away, leaving everything, you know, having no money, no resources, no backup, no help. It really isn't the easiest thing in the world to do.
No, it's not. It's not. So, you know, it's another way of me saying, well, I've hit the rock bottom, worn a T-shirt, so to speak, not proud of staying for as long as I did, but I didn't have any way out. And that's another reason I wanted to do the Resilient Soul Movement, because people struggle not just with domestic bits, but PTSD, mental health issues, physical health issues, and like mental... The Resilient Soul Movement covers mind, body, spirit and soul. So it does a whole package, as well as the extended family, friends, and of course the animals.
Yeah. And the other problem about abusers is that they tend to live within a community of abusers.
Yeah, and they're very, you know, very sly. They come across as all really nice and that, but as soon as that door shuts, it's a different kettle of fish.
You know, in every city, there is always an area where the abuser can thrive because he's seen as, or she is seen as, almost a hero amongst their peers.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to stop there for a minute, let you recover yourself a little bit, because I can tell this is getting a little bit tight now. So let's look at your first song. Your first song, conveniently, Bat Out of Hell.
Oh, I love that song. Can't beat a bit of Meatloaf.
Any particular reason why Bat Out of Hell?
I just love it.
Just love it?
Yeah.
It's good enough reason to play any record.
It is.
Bat Out of Hell.
The sirens are screaming and the fires are howling. We're down in the valley tonight. There's a man in the shadows with a gun in his eye and a blade shining no so bright. There's evil in the air and there's thunder in the sky and a killer's on the bloodshot streets. On down in the tunnel with a deadly horizon. No, I swear I saw a young boy down in the gutter. He was stopping the foam and the heat. Oh, baby, you're the only thing in this whole world that's
you'll linger on the right. And wherever you are and wherever you go, there's always gonna be some light. But I gotta get out, I gotta break it out now, before the final crack of dawn. So we gotta make the most of our one night together. When it's over, you know we'll both be so alone.
Here we are back in the second section. Thank you for Bat Out of Hell. Meatloaf, it was. So we're here tonight with Val Ross. She's the founder of the Resilient Soul Movement. So we've talked about your lived experience. We've talked about your own journey and why you created this movement. So let's talk about the kindness, the courage, the inclusion that can transform communities. How did that come about then?
Well, I've always been a people person, and I believe a community like Gosport, we all come together as a whole, and we never ever judge anybody that walks through the CTE doors, and the staff is supportive, and the community people always come back to us. As I said, they're always welcome here, the veterans are always welcome. You know, you've got legs and feet, you're welcome in.
Why CTU? What's the rest of Gosport not providing for them?
I just feel comfortable here and not really knowing the area because I've only been here 9 months.
Is that because it's a smaller unit?
I think so.
Yeah, more private?
More private, and it's more community effective that way, because if you've got big places, you seem to people fall through the nets and you can't care as much if you've got like 100 people in. And if you've only got 10 to 20, you can focus more importantly on them as well. And you get to know each other by name. And when, you know, a couple of the veterans have spoke to me about what they want me to do with the Resilient Soul. Some of the other ladies and men that just come for a cuppa, you know, they just like to come in and be part of something, somewhere to go when they've got nobody else to see that day.
Okay. Can I ask whereabouts in Gosport you live at the moment?
Near the hospital.
Near the hospital?
Yeah.
So getting here then is quite easy as well, isn't it, with the bus routes and...
I don't use the buses because of my seizures.
Okay. So how do you get down here then?
On my chariot. In my wheelchair.
You do everything on your wheelchair?
Yeah.
Wow, how resilient is that?
Yeah. Especially in the cold.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Wow. But anybody else who wants to get here, it's ideally placed really next to the central transport routes, isn't it, for the town centre?
The ferry, to come over from Portsmouth on the ferry.
So how do you find that the courage, the inclusion, the kindness is transforming the community? What have you found so far?
People are starting to come towards me a bit more because I've listened to a few people without breaking any confidentiality about their own mental health and everything, and I've mentioned I'll be doing a Resilient Soul movement, and they're like, oh, brilliant, can you get some woodwork stuff in, please? And that is also good because woodwork means they can get their mind working on something positive whilst they're sanding down, gluing together, and then if they're having like a PTSD attack or just feeling generally really low that day, it gives them something positive to look at, and in creation afterwards, they can look and be proud of themselves. And if they do want to talk whilst they're doing it about whatever's bothering them, that's fine, but there's no pressure for anybody to share or talk. You can sit there the whole time and just have a cup of tea and not talk at all. And I think that's what's going to make it more welcoming.
Yeah.
Because some places you go and you've got to talk. But I know myself, sometimes you just want to sit there and be quiet, but you want to be with people. Or you just want to do that bit of work or diamond art. And so therefore, we can all share that space without feeling, oh, I've got to speak about how I'm feeling today. Or am I going to be judged? No, definitely not. There's no judgment.
So setting up something like the Woodwork Club, the rest of it is okay. Did you get any infiltration from people like the council, health and safety? Have you had anybody going, you can't do that because?
I've had no input from the council whatsoever.
Okay. Do you worry that you might? Where the man with the big clipboard walks in and says, you can't do that because, and have you got a risk assessment for this, and have you got a risk assessment for that? Or will you just take that as it comes along?
Being as I'm doing it in the CTU, that should be covered, but if it does arise, then we can work with the council to make sure we're where we should be for safeguard, because obviously we want it to be safe.
You can say, 'cause there's always somebody who wants to put their little fire in, poke the fire to go, you know, you haven't checked this, you haven't checked that. And sometimes it's just so, so demoralising. You're trying your hardest to get everything done, and there's always somebody who wants to just stop it. Because they can.
Yeah, I'd say to that, well, where were you when I asked for help to set it up?
Yeah.
They asked a job centre to help me, and they said, we can't help you for things like that.
So how did you start setting this up then?
Done my qualifications, my certifications, have my years of experiences, do massages, Reiki healing and everything as well. I thought it all goes into one big bundle, and I thought, why not? People need that support and help and therapy. In quiet space or noisy space sometimes, especially with woodwork, but it's something that needs to be done.
Okay, let's just touch on that a little bit, because it actually doesn't bother me in the slightest, but it will bother other people. You say you did your qualifications, so what qualifications have you got?
I've got Reiki diploma, I've got ADHD, holistic therapy, mental health level 3, support worker, animal Reiki, animal communication and behaviour. And I've got over another 18 more, but I can't remember all off the top of my head.
Okay.
And I'm still learning. I've also done a suicide prevention one, so I can recognise signs of suicide.
Okay.
And I've done the one that is that includes everybody's diversity, ethnicity. Thank you. And all of that as well. I've done that as well. And I'm always learning and rebuilding my portfolio to make sure I'm up with the times.
Well done you.
Thank you.
Well done you. That's a lot to take on. And certainly with somebody in your condition, it can't have been easy either, getting the learning or achieving that learning.
No, it wasn't. It's very difficult. Very difficult.
I bet. I don't suppose anybody gave you any help with any of that either.
My husband supported me the best he could.
Yeah, bless him.
You know, made me feel that I was doing something positive for myself.
You are. Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
But I've always said to my husband before he passed away, you had to follow your dreams, girl. He said, because you will make people happy. And I said, oh, thank you, because he was always... I used to always put myself down when I first got with him,
right,
due to my past experiences. And he was saying, no, you're not ugly, you look good in a bin bag. And that made me laugh. I went, well, thank you, love.
Yeah,
I said, next time I go, I can put a bin bag on
But I'm not going out in a bin bag, You just want a cheap shopping list for Christmas, don't you?
If I said to him, I wanted to do X, Y, or Z, he wouldn't say, oh, no, you're too stupid to do that. He'd say, go on then, go ahead. Mm. And I'm terrible for spending money on myself, even now. And he'd say to me, take £10 or something for yourself. Oh, no, I'll spend it on the kids and you. And he's always been that one that's made me realise that there's more to me than when I was crushed.
So, bless you.
I mean, I do miss him every day, don't get me wrong.
Of course, of course.
No, but I know he's here in spirit. And he'd be looking down at me being proud. So,
how long's he been gone now?
Nearly 3.5 years.
Bless your heart.
Yeah, he was only 51, bless him. So. Oh. But he's not suffering.
Let's move on before we're all in tears. Animals.
Oh, yes.
How the heck did you get around to doing it about animals? I mean, there are help for heroes. There's lots of things for servicemen, veterans. Well, not enough, I don't believe. But there's nothing for animals. What made you go to animals?
I've always loved my animals, from little ones to big ones. And when I was about 3, I was just sat on my mum's front doorstep, and there's this blackbird, and the poor little thing only had 1.5 wings. And I used to sit there for 3 hours every day talking to this bird. And it used to come up to me and eat out my hands. All animals seem to be attracted to me. And I've seen people that have abused animals. Ooh, that really gets to my goat.
Yeah.
And I always thought, I'm going to have to make a difference because, yes, the RSPCA are very good, but they can only do so much. And some animals get abused and they not even realise that they've been abused. I mean, I've had rescue cats and they had a lot of trauma that I had to get them through. And the cat I've got now, she wouldn't even come out from her hiding place. But I spent months coaching her, healing her, working at her space. And I feel that is part of, she's helping me, so why the devil can't we help the animal? They're not just an ornament. You can't just pick them out and throw them away when you don't want them.
Some people do.
Unfortunately, yes.
Some people do.
And, you know, and you can't abuse them just because they got under your feet or something. You know, if you don't want the animal, don't have it.
Dare I ask what animals you've got at home at the moment?
I've only got a cat, because where I live we only allow 1 or 2 animals. Yeah, I wanted a tiger, but my husband won't let me have one.
Yeah, oh, I wonder why.
He bought me a white cuddly one.
Alligator in the bath as well. So
if I could have a lot of animals at home, I would.
Oh, bless him.
But I'd lady serve just as much love as a cat.
Most people call it a zoo. Yeah.
Yeah, might as well.
Have you ever thought about volunteering working for animal charities?
I do the RSPCA online at the moment.
Okay.
Because it's a bit difficult for me to get to the actual centres.
It's not easy for you to get anywhere, is it?
No, so that's why I thought, well, if people can bring their animals to me, I can help in that way.
Yeah.
It's why they still volunteer for the RSPCA online and help their causes.
I didn't know they did the RSPCA online.
Yeah.
Tell me about that then.
This one, the bit I do is mainly making sure people understand how the animals are mistreated and what we can do to stop. Petitions to stop caged animals being, dogs being used as cage fighting animals, or bringing them in from a foreign country and they're all like cooped up like little chickens. So I do that, and sometimes we have online where we can listen to the higher people in the RSPCA talk about what the next step is for the communities. So I've been doing that now for about 1.5 years.
One of the reasons I do these shows is to bring Gosport closer to the patients. The patients at the War Memorial, some of them are really quite immobile, and some of them, unfortunately, will probably not leave the hospital at all, you know, for a long, long time. And when they come out, they're not going to be as mobile as they once were, and their interests wane as well. That depression bit hits them. So one of the reasons I do this show is to show them actually what's out there, what's available for them to go and have a look at and have a play with. And something like RSPCA Online is something that I'd not heard of, to be fair, but again, is something that is going to be of use to that certain person coming out of hospital and wanting a new direction. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
You look at supporting carers, disabled people, veterans and families. Why the veterans? Because you're not from a veteran family, are you?
No, one of my very good friends, he was in the army, the British Army, and every time he come back from being over Afghanistan and places like that, I could see bits of his soul being taken away. And he used to come and he used to use me as his pillar and his support.
Okay.
And he said, you're very good at this. He said, make something of your life and help other veterans when you're ready. And that is why I also cover the veterans. And Gosport's full of them anyway. And they need more.
Yeah, we've got a few.
Yeah, we need more support as well. Because, you know, a lot of them are still suffering. They put brave faces on, like we all do. But deep down inside or in their, you know, things like that, they do struggle. And I think it's nice that they got somewhere they can come and feel they've been included as well.
And again, they've been brought up in an environment where they've got to be hard, they've got to be resilient, they're not allowed to show
weaknesses,
you know, they've got to be in the face of the enemy, so they hide it. And they don't even tell the mates because they know, you know, they think they're going to get shunned upon. I'm very pleased to say that that is changing rapidly now.
Which is good.
Yeah, it is. I'm a veteran. My wife's a veteran, and
well, thank you for your services.
No, thank you very much indeed. And we see it changing drastically. We also see more openness about now as well. And if you are a veteran that's listening and you need help, then I beg you to just reach out because there are going to be people there who will help you.
Most definitely.
Okay, let's go to your next record then. This one was almost banned when it came out in 1979. It was the last number one of the 70s. It's the only single they've ever had. Their album at the time didn't come from this one. The album came from Another Brick in the Wall. But their album in the 70s was the second biggest selling album of the 70s. Do you know what the biggest selling album was? Does it matter of interest?
Don't be silly, that's your
department. Okay. You want to bridge over troubled water. But this is Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall.
Hey, teacher!
that was another brick in the wall part two. Why that one?
I just love Pink Floyd.
Can't say I blame you. Yeah, played their complete album a fortnight ago, and I have to say I was a bit mocked because we've never done a complete album on the show before. Never at all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in 30 years, we've never done a complete album.
Right,
yeah. So I did that one. Mind you, I did Led Zeppelin a couple of weeks before that as well.
Brilliant, yeah, brilliant.
So, 4th of May. May the 4th...
be with you.
I wasn't going to go there. Yeah, I was. Yeah, I was.
Yeah, he was.
Tell me about the Resilient Soul Movement itself then now.
It is a business name and company I've put up for myself to help and support local community, veterans, their families and their animals on a weekly basis. And we will be doing different activities from woodwork, diamond arts, painting, massaging, essential oils. I will also be hosting a coaching program, and I'll be open up to ideas from the people that actually come into the community that want the support, because they may want something I've not thought of,
okay,
or something different, because, you know, we've got to make them, so they're relaxed. It's 2 hours a week, 10 till 12. It's a little donation to the CTU, and that gets you a free cup of coffee, and, well, a couple of cups of coffee if you're lucky. Ask Gary Walker about that. And the reason I'm doing it in the CTU is because I volunteer here anyway. I have my council in here, and since moving to Gosport approximately 9 months ago, they have become my friends and my second family, so I also feel safe and secure and protected, because I also have to figure my safeguarding needs because of my health issues as well.
And this is a very safe space, isn't it?
Yes, it is, definitely. Definitely, yeah. I mean, for example, yesterday I had a seizure here. Don't remember much about it.
Okay.
But they managed to get me home, and I've not had that before.
No.
Normally, if you have a seizure in somewhere, they just don't think, well, you're all right, bye-bye. So that is one example that they look after you. And I'd like to say that even if I wasn't a volunteer here, they would have probably still made sure I was safe, because that's just what we do here at the CTU.
Okay.
You know, and that is why I'm having it here as well, because it's a well-known location, it's in the high street, and the doors, you know, everybody's welcomed.
So how have you been advertising this so far?
Facebook, word of mouth, radio, TV, friends through friends, CTU website.
Okay.
Anybody and everybody that will listen about it in the community.
Because CTU put the tables at the front as well, don't they?
Oh, yes, they do, yeah. There's, yeah. Like, some food and that, and diamond arts.
So if they're down here on the if they're down here shopping on Saturday, they're going to get impounded with your Resilience moving open up on the Monday, are they?
Oh yes.
Good girl. Got to be done.
Got to be seen to be heard, or heard to be seen.
What else do you need now, then, Val? How can we or the community help you? What do you want?
I'd like to think that people would share it for me as well,
okay,
for their friends and family. And I'm going to contact the local doctors, etc., to see if I can start putting bits in there, because that's also good, because then they can refer to here, not just for my services, but for the other, there's counselling here at the CTU as well. I am looking for donations for anything to do with arts, crafts, animals. I've got quite a bit already, but obviously it's going to be a long-term running thing, and I've took it all out of my own pocket at the moment, which I don't mind doing it because it's for a good cause, but I'm on a universal credit, and they just wouldn't help me.
No.
I couldn't understand why, because they want everybody to go back to work and do X, Y, and Z, and say, oh, we can't give you that, no, sorry. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so if anybody's got anything like that or can make something, I'll be appreciated.
Yeah, their rules sometimes confuse me, I have to say.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so they can drop stuff into CTU?
Yes, yes.
How would they get hold of you if CTU is shut, to say, can I come in on Monday, or can I do this, can I do that?
At the minute, I'm just working on a different mobile number, which I should be adding to the website,
right,
and onto my Facebook, because I don't want to use my personal phone
number. And that'll be on the CTU
website as well, okay. Yes. So they can get through. If they can't get through to me, just ring up the CTU, and somebody here will help them.
Yeah. Failing that, they can just pop in the CTU.
Yeah, they can just pop in and say hello and have a cuppa.
So, Monday, what time are you opening on Monday?
The CTU actually opens at 8:30 for the veterans to have their three cups of tea and coffee.
Right.
And I'm actually starting the Resilient Soul Movement from 10 a.m.
In
the back of the CTU, but you will be directed anyway. Somebody will help make sure okay. they come through, because obviously I'll be up there ready so I can greet people, but then there's always going to be volunteers and staff down the door that will very kindly show you the way.
Bless you. It's a bank holiday.
Bank holiday, yes.
You're expecting lots in?
There's always hope, but, you know, all depends who's about and what the weather's like and, you know.
Big plays a big part in Gosport, that does, doesn't it?
Yes.
What else can we do for you? What can we do on the radio station for you?
Maybe just advertise it out there for me, please.
With pleasure.
Thank you ever so much. That's, no problem whatsoever. Because the more people that get to hear about it, the better. Because obviously I can do my part, but there's only so far I can go.
And how would you like to see this grow?
I'd love to see it grow big and solid with regular...
How big?
Eventually, I want to be able to open up my own health and wellness store so I can have it all in there.
Okay.
Still do my bit at the CTU once a week because I'm loyal and I think that'll help. But then also have somewhere where I can do it and have more clients and more people to help in a more private sector. Because CTU is lovely, but obviously everybody can come in and out. And some people don't want to sit there having a chat about whatever is if... You know, because it's fair enough, it's respectful.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to do eventually. I'm looking about that within the next 3 to 5 years.
Any group work?
I'll be doing group coaching and counselling eventually. I'm going to be bringing out a book soon.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I'm going to do my lived trauma.
Don't forget to give me the signed copy.
I will, I will. And the CTU will get one if Gary's nice to me.
Gary's nice to everybody.
I did that bit.
Yeah, Gary's nice to everybody. What else? What else?
Can I just include a bit about the children?
You can include whatever you want about the children.
And we're also going to be working with special needs children. And I've actually got a couple of books written ready to be processed. And it's about seeing me early, it's called. And that is basically a lot of kids nowadays, whether they've got ADHD or autism or just generally with the way society is, they face a lot of struggles even from a young age.
Yeah.
And... obviously, I was going back a few years when mine first started, and nobody saw the signs. At least now I've got a book in, so the kids can express their feelings in a gentle manner, but the parents or the carers can actually see what signs to look for without the kids feeling, oh, they're looking at me because I'm doing something naughty.
I think people are more aware now than they've ever been.
Yes, because it does affect, because the community and the world as a whole is... and a whole new different level of...
I would point you in the direction of a little charity that runs out at St Vincent called Marvels and Meltdowns.
Oh, lovely.
Thank you. They predominantly look after the carers of children with autism and ADHD.
Yes.
There are a pair of lovely ladies that look after that. Go and have a word with them because they would welcome your support.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah. Because it is challenging.
Yeah, always is, yeah. So they look after the carers of autism and ADHD children. I have fostered for severe challenging behaviour kids as well as autism and ADHD.
Yes.
And yes, the strength it takes just to keep going on a daily basis is phenomenal.
It is.
You know, and I take my hat off to these people who just go, you know what? Bring the kids in and we'll just crack it out.
Yeah.
It's not that easy. It really isn't that easy.
No.
Not at all.
I mean, I've got ADHD. My boy's got autism and ADHD. And even though he's an adult now, he still can't see dangers. He's always hyperactive. So even, it's a lifelong condition. A lot of people don't realise how bad it affects not just the child or the adult with it, but the people around them. Because it's mentally exhausting.
Yeah.
You know, because you always got to be that one step ahead. And I found that challenging because obviously I've got my own barriers because I've got ADHD and all my other bits on top. So that was double whammy. And I think that's why it's important that I do it in such a nice way that the children get a nice little book that they can colour in and the parents get something, or the carers get something that they can look at.
And it can be something really quite small. You know, with ADHD, it's that constant fidgeting.
Yeah. Little fidgety toys and all that's really good for them. And
it's really
bands.
Good for them, but it's really putting off for everybody else, you know.
Yeah, but they can carry on.
I teach for a living, for a want of a word. And the amount of people who criticise the ADHD children. And I have to say to them, well, what's your problem? Well, they're disrupting the rest of the class. Well, put them at the back of the class then. They can fidget with whatever they like, they can do whatever they like, and they're not affecting anybody. But now they're able to learn as well. Because actually they're in their own space and they can give you all the attention in the world you want.
And to be honest, some people with ADHD and autism are very brainy.
Oh, yeah.
So sitting in a classroom listening is probably not the best thing for them. They like to do things hands-on. Mm. They like to be doing something with their hands all the time because their mind goes 1,000 miles per hour. You imagine going around a racetrack and then suddenly having to come to a halt because you've got to sit down in the classroom with kids and listen to the teacher talk about whatever. It's going to go in one ear and out the other and they're not even going to remember what they've done. And then that's when they have a flare up. And that's what we need to help try to calm down.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Anything else? Anything you want to get out there? Your last chance, you've got 1 minute. If you had to sell it, what would you say in 1 minute?
Don't hide in the shadows anymore. Bring yourself out and come to the calm space of the CTU for the Resilient Soul Movement.
Bless your little heart. Val, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank
you. Last song. I don't know whether we'll get all of this in, but I think we're going to get most of it. I never used to like this group, not at all, until I saw the film. And then when I saw the film, I had to go, my respect just leapt up by the zillions to go, my dear me, what has he gone through to get to where he is today? Why Bohemian Rhapsody?
I love the song, I love the group, and it's got a lot of meaning behind it.
I think it's got a lot of you behind it.
I'm not going to go like a Queen man, you know. I'm not going round to be my little Hoover. But yeah.
Well, CTU, Monday, people, if you're not doing anything, get down there and support her.
Yes, please, thank you.
Thank you, take care.
Thank you very much.
This is Bohemian Rhapsody, Queen.
Escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy. Because I'm easy come, easy go. Little high, little low. Anyway, the wind blows, doesn't really matter to me, Mama just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Just begun, but now I've gone and thrown it all away. Mama, ooh, didn't mean to make you cry. If I'm not back again this time, please.
see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo, Galileo,
Galileo, Figaro,
Magnifico.
I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family, sparing his life from this monstrosity.
Easy come, easy go, will you let me go?
Bismillah,
no, we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah,
we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah,
we will not let you go.
Let me go!
We'll not let you go.
Let me go!
We'll not let you go.
Let me go!
Oh, mamma mia, mamma mia!
Mamma mia, let me go!
Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me. For me.
In tune with your town since 1993, this is Gosport's Hospital Radio.
You've been listening to Gosport Hospital Radio's Community Hour, where we hope we've brought Gosport closer to you.
Tune in at 8 o'clock on Tuesdays to Gosport Hospital Radio for India Hour with me, Tom, and you.
Patch.
No, I'm Patch.
Oh yeah.
Playing Gosport's best music 24 hours a day.
On air and online at www.gosporthospitalradio.co.uk.
Since 1993.
This is Gosport Hospital Radio.
From the